Welcome to another edition of Coffee with Corey. On today's episode, we will be discussing the NC State offense and its struggles against UVA on Saturday in a 34-8 loss in week zero. We'll be discussing CJ Bailey's inefficiencies, the lack of a run game for NC State, and what NC State can potentially do moving forward to rectify the situation with 11 games remaining. We'll talk about all of that after this break.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint scheme. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Coffee with Corey. I'm your host, Corey Smith, here to discuss some NC State football on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Not so beautiful when you think of NC State's performance on Saturday against UVA. A struggle for NC State to get next to anything going, particularly on the offensive side of the football. The defense, you know, look, I'll shelf that for a little bit longer. We'll see what the defense is capable of, but when you're handed three and out, and then turnover, and then punting the football away over and over again, it's hard for the defense to really get things going. I do think they had a struggle. They were struggle bus on Saturday as well. But again, the defense was not the reason why a lot of people had NC State high in their hopes for this upcoming season. But before that, I do want to drink a little bit of coffee. And let people know, as always, you can check out our coverage over at Pack Power 247. Still running 75% off right now through the end of this week. So if you do want to jump on board, you want to get straightforward analysis, you want to get all of the things that you're looking for when it comes to NC State, the good, the bad, the indifferent, we'll have it over at Pack Power 247. So do make sure that you check that out. And as always, if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure to hit like, subscribe, and hit get notifications so you can jump on with us each and every single time we do this, and give us a rating on our podcast on all the platforms, and make sure that you are locked in with us throughout the entire season. And here's the big question Chilton asked, and I can't argue with it. How can you be as bad as NC State did with a third-year starter? Yeah, that's the biggest question mark right now for me. Is defensive-wise, again, I didn't think the defense was going to be your calling card. I loved the pieces they added. I thought King Mack looked really good on Saturday. A couple issues for NC State along the defensive front. Those guys can continue to progress throughout the season. Defensive, the secondary I thought was good for the most part. You had a couple breakdowns. Popo Aguirre had the breakdown against a running back, and that ends up leading to them being able to get a big touchdown. I didn't think the secondary was bad, and the defense wasn't atrocious, as atrocious as it looked again, because I think they got worn down quite a bit in that game. The offensive side of the football, CJ Bailey, look, man, you're billed as the guy all offseason. You're supposed to be the dude. I'm basing it off of what we've seen from the past, and I'm basing it off of what we all thought he was capable of this offseason. You look at a guy last season that was under control for the most part in a lot of games and a lot of big wins for NC State. The issue for him was, all right, man, you haven't been able to do it on the road. Can he fix those things? That was proven not correct to this point yet on Saturday. And we'll say that in a major way, because the three worst games that he's had in an NC State uniform have all come on the road. I mean, the Pittsburgh game was a struggle, but it wasn't terrible for him last year. The Duke game was a struggle, but it wasn't terrible other than, the interceptions. This game, he got absolutely nothing going. The offense looked like it was, timid for the most part, and a lot of that was because of CJ Bailey not playing well. And then at the same time, you look back at the worst two games last year for him, Miami and then on the road against Notre Dame. And again, those reared their ugly head again on Saturday. And that to me, I think, is the biggest takeaway that I have from this game is, You know, as much as we put on C.J. Bailey, 12 of 23, 84 yards. The one interception, had two more passes that could have been picked off in this game. Just not nearly what you expected from him. 10 rushes for 33 yards. A lot of those were, you know, planned rushes. It wasn't scrambling out of the pocket like he did last year and just trying to find something for him. I think that was, to me, again, I keep saying the biggest concern here, but like, if you're looking at scripted plays at the beginning of the game, you're looking at the time that they've spent the most on, you're planning, you know, the first three, four drives are basically scripted, and you're like, all right, we're going to get out of the gate with this. If it doesn't work, you change the game plan. You go into it and you look at it. All right, man, this is, we're going to get better from here. And none of those drives worked. I mean, the first four drives for NC State, if we're going back and looking at it, I want to make sure I get it right here. Three and out on a gain of 3 yards. Three and out on a gain of 6 yards. Interception on the second play after gaining 2 yards. And then you finally get a first down on the first play of the fourth drive, and then essentially go three and out and punt it after gaining 13 yards. Next drive was also six plays for 13 yards and a punt. And then the next drive was finally the productive one you had. Victor Snow brings it back around midfield. Probably could have gone for a lot longer than that. If you look back at the replay of that one, if he goes left, maybe he you know gets NC State down to the 25 or breaks it all the way for a touchdown. You never know. But C.J. Bailey finally leads them down the field. He gets a big gain on the first rush. And then, you know, they get into the red zone, and he ends up taking a sack on a terrible play. Finally get good coverage, but, you know, he ends up dropping back, takes forever in the pocket, and then it ends up going for, you know, he ends up getting sacked on that play, and then they got to get a little bit of help with Vander Ploeg getting the ball down the field. He gets to the 1 yard line, but really that was the only drive where, you know, NC State ended up getting anything going. And then, you know, that drive, the second one there that I was talking about, actually was the one where he fumbled the football. So any productive drives where they had, it didn't come without C.J. Bailey struggling. It didn't come without the offense, you know, needing to figure out a way to break off a big play. Whereas, you know, a lot of things looked really easy for Virginia on Saturday, and that was what I expected for NC State's offense. You expected NC State's offense to have some easy, productive drives, and instead, the lack of creativity, you know, not running any of the, you know, the RPOs that they did work were okay. But you didn't have any of the, you know, just fake handoffs and being able to scramble around and being able to, you know, get off platform for C.J. Bailey, something that he does pretty well. But a lot of the plays for NC State were just out of shotgun, snap back to him, and then he ends up, yes, and as somebody pointed out, yes, this is a technician mug. You know, shout out to them. Maybe they weren't wrong. They were just early. I think a lot of people were like, hey, preseason might not be the best place for this, but hey, They weren't proven wrong, and yes, as Miffy here said, Michael mentioned the post game. CJ had guys open but couldn't pull the trigger. You can tell he doesn't trust this wide receiver group, and I think that's another major concern for me. Is looking back on this game again, you know, these were the pieces that CJ Bailey wanted. You know, you brought in JoJo Trader, you brought in Chance Robinson, you get Davion Goss. Davion Goss didn't take a single handoff in this game, and you know, I'll talk about the run game here in just a second. I think that's the major concern for me, is the run game didn't get anything going either. The passing game, you know, that can maybe be fixed. I feel like the passing game, you know, it can be fixed if C.J. Bailey is better. It can be fixed if you get a little more separation from the wide receivers, or C.J. Bailey trusts his wide receivers to go up and make a play. It's ironic because before the game, Spencer Thomas, our photographer that was out there, shout out to Spencer, for being there for us, took a photo of C.J. Bailey's wrists, and written on them, on the wrist tape that he had, it said, take risks. And I don't think this offense took any risks on Saturday. I don't think they, you know, there was missed coverages for NC State in the backfield. I look back at the one interception, and it was, you know, Preston Douglas just kind of chipping off the defender there instead of actually blocking or pass blocking for C.J. Bailey. And then, you know, it ends up, he gets straight on C.J. Bailey, and that's why he ended up tipping the pass. Because of the fact that you didn't actually block there, he just kind of chips him off and then runs upfield like he's blocking for a running play instead of knowing that it's a passing play there, and then it ends up getting tipped and ends up getting intercepted. So Some of it's on CJ Bailey. Some of it's on guys not knowing the play that they're supposed to be calling there. And maybe some of that's the crowd noise. I don't know what it is. But there was a lot of things wrong with this offense, and that's the biggest concern to me is, you know, the fact that, yeah, CJ Bailey, you went out and you got these guys. You went and you found the players that you wanted. And for whatever reason, they weren't able to connect on a lot of plays that they needed to in this game. And it just – that, I think, was the biggest, you know, thing to me was you look back at the passing game, 84 yards. Like, that's really hard to do. 84 yards passing on 23 attempts, only 12 of those actually completed, but 84 yards against this defense that, look, mind you, I think the defensive line was a lot better than some people were building them up to be. I thought the secondary was good in this one, but you know, when you're not taking risks at all, when you're dropping back and you're not, you know, giving your guys opportunities to win those one-on-one battles, you're not giving your guys opportunities to, you know, to get into the open field. That is a struggle, and that's an issue for NC State that it has to figure out. Like, that has to be figured out quickly. The other thing for me, so number one biggest concern I have is CJ Bailey and his performance. I think the wide receivers, there's a chance they can get better separation. There's a chance you can scheme them up into better opportunities, but we'll see if that actually gets fixed throughout the season. The major concern for me that I have for this one outside of CJ Bailey is the run blocking. It was a major issue in this game. And yes, Duke Scott, you know, you can pound on him all you want. And the lack of effort for him in this game, or the lack of, you know, opportunities for him in this game, only 7 attempts for 20 yards. When your team is down as big as NC State was after basically the first quarter, I mean, I'm looking back on it. Yes, 17-0, but that 17 came quickly into the second quarter. So NC State is already facing a major deficit early on in this game. You're going to go away from the run, so there's not as many opportunities there. But if this offense is going to have any semblance of balance going forward, the run blocking has to be significantly better. I thought the pass blocking was actually really good in this game, and the PFF numbers reflect that. Like, Spike Soles was good as a pass blocker. Teague Anderson was good as a pass blocker. Kamen Smith was good as a pass blocker. Jamari McCrimmon was actually really good as a pass blocker before he got knocked out of the game. But when you look back on this, like the offensive line got very little push when it came to the run game, opened up very few gaps for NC State in the run game. And when they did, UVA was rushing their linebackers in and got straight to Duke Scott before he got an opportunity to be able to get there. So there has to be better run blocking up front, but then at the second level as well to allow for him to be able to run. The longest run of the day that NC State had, was C.J. Bailey for 13 yards. Duke Scott had 0 explosive runs. Look, I'm not asking for Will Wilson to have explosive runs because for the most part, he's asked to just go in there on fourth and one, you know, whatever in goal to be able to score. So I'm not asking him to be able to break off explosive runs, but you know, nobody averaged more than 3.5 yards per carry, and Will Wilson actually led NC State in yards per carry. That's not a good sign. A guy that you're asking for the most part to go in there and rush for just 1 yard to get you over to the next play and get you, you know, potentially into the goal or into the end zone, and he ends up finishing with the most yards per game for NC State, that's a really tough look. And again, you know, shout out to UVA's defensive line. I thought they were really good in this game, and maybe that's one of the better defensive lines NC State's going to face on the season. They're veteran. They're, you know, at the second level, they were very good in this game despite not having Cam Robinson. But you know, going into this game, one of the areas that you are going to have to find a way to attack is being able to attack the middle of the field for Virginia, because they didn't have Cam Robinson. And NC State just showed an absolute inability to be able to do that. So that is a major area of concern for me, is when you're looking at the offensive line, as good as they were pass blocking, the fact that they got absolutely nothing for this NC State offense when it comes to being able to run block, and it comes to being able to get guys into the second level of the, you know, of their defense. That was a huge concern in this one for NC State. And then the last thing I'm going to point out here too, you know, just the, I talked about it a little bit earlier, you know, with, and this one's one that can be cleaned up, and this one's one that I think can be fixed, but it has to be fixed fast. It has to be fixed before you get to Vanderbilt, which again is 3 weeks away. But when you look at this NC State offense, there was a lot of miscues. There was a lot of, you know, CJ Bailey pulling back, or, you know, handing off on an RPO, when he had a stick route right outside him. You have an opportunity to be able to get a guy, and be able to pull that thing back in an easy completion and keep the ball moving down the field. Instead, there was a couple times where he handed it off to Duke Scott. Duke Scott runs right into, you know, a double team or right into a guy, you know, bearing down on him. And it ends up leading to that type of play, a broken play. And NC State has to figure out a way to then get themselves back in front of the sticks instead of being on, you know, second 11 or third and 11 and trying to figure things out from there. And, some of it's a lack of creativity on the offensive side of the football. But, you know, these were a lot of things that NC State ran well last year. And it ended up turning into, you know, the offense actually being productive under C.J. Bailey. So as much as I look at the lack of creativity, some of this has to come down to C.J. Bailey diagnosing the play beforehand, which is what we were told was something that he got so much better in this offseason, you could not tell it on Saturday. I mean, just the 300 level of being more mentally prepared, of understanding what he's seeing on the other side of the defense, of understanding his, you know, pass protection in front of him, just none of that looked to that was reflected on Saturday. But again, I put a little bit of that on, you know, guys being out of position, some guys not being able to. I mentioned Preston Douglas earlier. You know, Davion Goss got blown up on the sack that ended up that C.J. Bailey got hit on. So, like, some of these things have to be improved over the next few weeks. And I think those are some things that can, you know, getting better chemistry. Part of the issue is you bring in guys that you're familiar with so that you can kind of overcome some of those chemistry issues. But it was some of the guys just not being able to play the right play. I mentioned Preston Douglas. I mentioned Davion Goss. There was a couple times where you look and it's like Keenan Jackson was out of position on some plays. Keenan Jackson's a third-year wide receiver. Those things can't be happening. And so all those things, they can be fixed. They can be cleaned up, but it has to be done quickly. And I think if Saturday is not, I said this in my Corey's conclusion this morning, if Saturday is not an eye-opener for NC State, and it obviously should be, but if it's not an eye-opener for all of those reasons, and this offense can't be fixed, I don't see the defense being good enough for NC State to ever really be able to lean on it. You know, Dave Doran talks about complementary football all the time, but man, like if things are going to be fixed, it's got to be on this offense to be able to get better, to give the defense some opportunities to be able to figure out what's going wrong and what they can fix. Because again, if we're talking about those first, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 drives all leading to punts and only 1, 2, 3 of them going over 3 plays and multiple of them leading to fumbles or interceptions and you know, they get the ball back. And not only does the offense get the ball back, but they get momentum. There's none of those momentum shifting plays for NC State that they generated on the defensive side of the football. And really, there was none of it on the offensive side of the football either. And I think if you're looking at it, this defense has to be more opportunistic. They have to be better in that sense. But the offense has to be the one to truly carry this team, and it did none of that on Saturday. Absolutely none of it. And that's the biggest takeaway that I have from this game is if you're looking at the offense, those things have to be cleaned up. But if there's an opportunity to do that, you have to find it over these next few weeks. Miffy brought up here, yeah, Dez Kitchings lit up the state D. Ironically, he was the co-offensive coordinator in 2019 when Dave Doran should have been fired, in my opinion. Well, you know, the thing I'll say about Dez Kitchings is, you know, one thing that we've learned over the last 2 years is, and we learned in 2019 too, his offense looks a lot better when you've got some dudes. I mean, you look back at the first couple of years he was there at Virginia, and it wasn't there for him. Like, he was trying to figure things out, trying to get things going. But he didn't have dudes. He didn't have the guys to be able to run that system and make it that much better. He's got some dudes now. Like, you know, Bo Prabula, shout out to him for playing. And apparently NC State didn't think he was going to be running the football a lot. He obviously was. And I think most people knew that going into Saturday, that's his calling card. That's what he does. And he did it to a T against NC State on Saturday. I thought Bo Prabula, one thing I will say, as I thought Bo Prabula in an offense that he's only running for the first time looked more confident and a lot less timid than C.J. Bailey in the third season that he's with NC State, the second season that he's running this offense fully under Kurt Roper. And that's a really bad sign for NC State. Now, granted, one of the things I will say in front of him, he's got an offensive line that is full of fifth year, sixth year, seventh year dudes. Yes, they might be close to being on ARP, but they're also very, very good and very experienced and limited what NC State was able to do. So I think if you're looking at this offense for NC State, it's got to get to a point where it's more confident in what it's running. And I think some of this too is on CJ Bailey for being able to, you know, run the football at will, run it confidently immediately once that play is called, because there's a couple times where if you look back at it, like Bo Pibula, he fakes that handoff and he's gone. I mean, just gone to the right side of the field over and over and over again. CJ Bailey, you go back and watch those fake handoffs, the RPOs, he's fake handing it off, and then he's just kind of slowly and methodically trying to run. That can work at times, but when your offensive line is not run protecting the way it should, it's got to immediately be fixed. You got to immediately run that football and start darting away so that you can be able to pick up plays or pick up big gains. I'm going to throw this up here too. SM said the entire 60 minutes was the worst blank show I've ever seen in 63 years, and I've been following them. They were wandering around as if they never knew what to do, starting with the first kickoff. Yeah, and that's, you know, in particular, I would say that was on the offensive side of the football. The defense, again, you know, got its ass handed to it late. And you know, I will say this, like, you look back at the beginning of that thing, they gave up, you know, nothing on the first drive outside of the one Bo Pibula run. And then they get basically a stop on the second one, the second drive. And that came, you know, they were able to get the 3 points out of that. And then after that, your back breaks a little bit because you give up, you know, the interception from CJ Bailey. They give up 7 points, and now you're suddenly down 10 points after having, you know, two pretty decent drives. Like, you got stops out of both of those drives, and you limit them to a field goal. That should be in the offense to figure things out after that. And they never did, and NC State just really never recovered after that point. I mean, they didn't give up much of a fight after that point outside of the one drive where CJ Bailey fumbled it. That was really it for the first half in particular. And once you go into the locker room after that, Dez Kitchens comes out and says, all right, man, I'm going to throw the kitchen sink at them. I'm going to go out in here. We're going to run a flea flicker. They get 40 yards out of that play. Two plays later, they get another almost 40 or 20 yards out of that play. And then two plays later, run a wheel route for a running back and end up getting, the coverage that you wanted. The safety slides over, and then Popo Aguirre misses it. And then NC State ends up being down 7, or, you know, at that point, being down 24-0. And there's really next to nothing to come back from at that point. So the last thing I'll say here too, Nick said, the disconnect between players and staff is concerning to me. That shouldn't be happening week zero. Peyton Wilson, Isaiah Moore, Dre Thomas were always good and prepared under Gibson. Yep. And I think that to me is right now, all those things have to be fixed, because as embarrassing as Saturday was, and as much as people are already just, you know, throwing NC State out as being even a contender in the ACC, and probably rightfully so. If you're looking at that game on Saturday, they're going, hey, there's no reason that NC State should be that bad. And I'm, as much as you might have had expectations before the season, I'm out. It's hard for me to follow along with this team. Well, they got 11 games left. You got a lot left that you can still be able to, you know, prove for this team. And obviously Dave Jordan has been able to rectify some situations in the past. They've been able to do those things. But this was an eye-opener. This was a, you know, welcome to the season, and NC State ends up just getting absolutely curb-stomped on the biggest stage that they'll have probably all year long. You know, there might be some games where they have opportunities. You know, the Louisville game, if NC State is 4-1 or 3-1 at that point, and you have a chance to do something there, but this was the biggest stage. This was a standalone game on ESPN, and NC State just absolutely crapped the bed, and you cannot do that on this big of a stage if you want to be taken seriously, if you want to be looked at as a program that's going to rectify some of the earlier issues you've had in the Dave Doran era. And they absolutely did not do that. The offense has to get better, has to be less predictable, and has to show a little bit more creativity going forward, but also has to get on the same page and has to be able to run block. All of those things are true, and that is a lot to figure out after week zero. So we will talk much more about this game. We'll also talk much more about NC State as a whole. Women's soccer off to a great start. We'll talk about those things tonight on the weekly podcast. We will not be doing it for medios. My daughter has her first T-ball game, so I will be there instead. But And then next week we'll be on vacation, so we won't be at Emidio's either, but we will be returning after the Richmond game. So we'll be back there, but we'll still be doing some remote ones. So we'll talk about all of those things later tonight with Charlie. Thank you to everybody for jumping on. We will talk to you guys again soon.